We'll be taking a few weeks off now from Colossians for our Missions Emphasis Month, but please be faithful and come out, and I want you to hear each of these wonderful servants of the Lord, and what they have to give you I know will be very special. So next Wednesday night, Adam Branscombe will be bringing the Word to us, so please be faithful and come and hear what this servant of God has to say that's going to China. For tonight, we'll be in Colossians chapter 4, and we're going to be keying in here on verses 7 and 8. If you need a handout, we miss you on the way in, would you lift your hand up? Let our ushers see you and give you that right now. Anyone like that? First time? All right. Not first time, or you need a handout, I mean, is what I mean. I'm back into greeting guest mode. If you need a handout, just lift your hand up high. Okay, great. Well, let's do this. We're going to get into some things here tonight I think will be very helpful to you. And tonight, if you want a profile of what it means to be a servant of Jesus Christ, you're going to get it tonight. Because we're going to look at a man that you've probably never heard a Bible study about in your life. I know I never have. Maybe you have, but I doubt it. We're going to look at a man that was a co-worker with Paul that is quite an example to us if you desire to be a servant for Jesus Christ. And so let's bow our heads and pray before we get into this. Tonight, if you want to be a servant of Christ, you'd like to be used of the Lord, I want you to really open up your heart right now and ask God to speak to you. There's going to be several things we're going to draw out tonight from the Scriptures. So I want you to ask the Lord to pinpoint something tonight to speak to your heart. Would you ask Him to do that right now? Father, thank You for Your Word. Lord, I pray that we'll come now with a ready heart, a prepared heart. Lord, I yield myself to You, and I ask You now, Lord, to, Lord, take the position that You've given me in Christ, and as I stand in that tonight, I ask You to take me, fill me with Your Spirit, that I may feed this wonderful flock of people that have taken time out of their busy schedules to be here tonight to hear the Word. And I want to give them something that will help them. So, Father, I right now yield to You. I surrender to You. I just claim the precious blood of my Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord God. And I know that it's through His blood that we're cleansed. And it's not through our own doings. So I just rest in Christ. I rest in You, Jesus. I rest in Your Holy Spirit. And I cannot do it apart from You. Lord, help us to all open up our hearts to receive what You have for us, because I know You do have something for us here. So, Lord, encourage us and admonish us and challenge us from Your Word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Tonight, we're going to get into verse 7, and I love what I would call the closing remarks in Paul's books. At the end of Paul's letters, he usually gets very personal. And he'll begin to talk about people that he knows, not in a gossiping way, in a good way. And he'll begin to mention individuals by name that are with him or that are in the church there. And it's just fascinating to me. There's a lot of great little what I would call gold nuggets at the end of Paul's letters that will encourage us, that will inspire us, that will instruct us. And so sometimes when we read Paul's books, Romans through Philemon, 13 books he wrote, we can tend to breeze through the end of the book and think, okay, all right, he's just saying, you know, greetings and this and that to this one and that one. And hey, this one sends greetings and that one sends greetings and tell this one I said hi. And, you know, and so we just kind of can breeze through it and think maybe there's nothing there. Well, there is something there. And I don't know about you, but I firmly believe with all my heart that every single word of Scripture is inspired by God. And it's there for a reason. If I didn't believe that, I'd just close it up, leave it here, and go home. You know, I believe every word of the Bible is inspired, and it's there because God wanted it to be there. And there's a reason why God included these personal greetings and these personal notes at the end of Paul's letters. Tonight is a great example of that. Tonight, I'm going to introduce you, and you may already know him, but it may be an introduction to some of you, to a man by the name of Tychicus. Tychicus. Can you say that with me? Tychicus. Yeah. And the ministry of Christ, and I believe that. What I'm about to say, I believe it with all my heart. You know that that I've been here a long time, 24 years, I think, and I have seen something here in the last 20 plus years. And here's what I've seen at Crossroads. The ministry of Christ depends upon what I would call unsung heroes. What's an unsung hero? That's people who serve Christ fervently. I mean, they're serious about it. But they do not require attention, they do not require praise, and they do not require accolades. They serve Christ out of just a fervent love for their Savior. The ministry of Christ depends upon these unsung heroes. You know, 9-1-1, 10 years this Sunday. We're going to be doing a few things in the service in remembrance of that Sunday. But 9-1-1 happened 10 years ago Sunday. And I would venture to say that most of the heroes that day will never hear about them. They did their jobs. Many gave their life in the line of duty to rescue others. Some put their life on the line and they survived it and they rescued people or they rescued children or they rescued adults and you'll never hear about them. They were just an unsung hero. And that's the way it is in the service. That's the way it is in the Lord's army. That's the way it is in the service of Christ, is that there's these people that just seem to just serve the Lord faithfully year in, year out, year in, year out, year in, year out. And they're behind the scenes. They love Jesus Christ and they know He's watching, and that is enough for them. As long, Pastor Dan may not see it, my life group teacher may not see it, the folks at church may not see it, but my Jesus sees it, and that's enough for me. And that's their attitude. Jesus sees it, that's enough. If nobody else knows, that's okay. That's all right. Now, the opposite of that, let me show you something. You're in Colossians. Keep your bookmarker here. We're going to come right back and we're going to hit this. But I want to open up by showing the opposite of an unsung hero. And to do that, if you'll go back to Revelation, the last book of the Bible, and then two books before Revelation is just one chapter, the book of 3 John. And it's one chapter. You got 3 John, Jude, and Revelation. And I want you to go back. I want to show you the opposite of this. Now, we're going to cover 3 John on Sunday mornings for the next few weeks, because for the mission's emphasis, our theme verse is coming out of this book. So I'm going to actually teach this book to you on Sunday mornings over the next few weeks. So I thought it'd be good to go ahead and introduce you tonight to a guy in verse 9. 3 John 9, where it says here, John writes, "I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes..." Now notice this, "who loveth to have the what? The preeminence among them receiveth us not." Does anybody know what that means? If somebody loves to have the preeminence, what does that mean? Yeah, they want to be in the limelight. They want to be noticed. And then look at verse 10. "Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church." This guy had become a dictator. This guy had usurped this church, and he was doing it all for his own glory. He wanted the limelight. He wanted to be the center of attention. He wanted the preeminence. And anybody that would threaten him to get the print, he just ousted him out of the church. He threw him out. I mean, this guy usurped a local assembly, took it over, and I mean, and it was all because he wanted preeminence. Now, this is the opposite of the guy we're going to study tonight. Go back to Colossians and let me show you a guy, this guy Tychicus. This is the exact opposite of the guy we're going to look at here, named Tychicus, one of these unsung heroes that were a blessing to Paul and to the cause of Christ. Look at verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. Let me introduce you to this man, Tychicus. Did you know Tychicus is only mentioned 7 times in the Bible? Did you know that when it comes to Tychicus, there is no record in your Bible of any great spiritual feats or any great miracles that he did? When you read about Tychicus, the 7 times he's mentioned, you don't see him slaying giants like David. You don't see him escaping lions' dens like Daniel. You don't see him healing people with handkerchiefs like the Apostle Paul did. There's no great record of any great miracle or spiritual feat. He was not an apostle. Tychicus was not a pastor. To our knowledge, the man held no position of any kind in any local church. He was simply a man. He was a man that was a tremendous blessing, and he was a help to the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul obviously thought the world of Tychicus, and Paul respected this man greatly. Tychicus was top shelf in Paul's book. I mean, he was top shelf. But yet Tychicus, you know, there's no record of any great spiritual accomplishments or feats. It's not like he's mentioned over and over and over and over again in the Bible. He's just a man that was a blessing. He's one of those unsung heroes. And I want to bring out 4 or 5 things about this man tonight, and I hope it'll challenge your heart to be a servant of Christ like Tychicus. Let me give them to you. Number one, Tychicus was a loving man. He was a loving man. If you look at verse 7, it says there, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother. How many of you have noticed, since you've been saved, that there are some people even in the church that are difficult to love? Y'all notice that? Well, Tychicus was easy to love. Now, here's why. People who are full of love typically are easy to love. You know, I was thinking, it's fresh on my mind from just a couple of months ago when Margaret Bohannon went home to be with the Lord. And when I went and saw Margaret there on her deathbed, Margaret was still thinking of others. You know, I went with Bill to go see Margaret, Bill Dobb, and he had just gotten back, you know, from being away. And she wanted to know how you were doing and how the kids were doing and how Joanne's doing. And she could barely talk. I mean, you understand, I'm saying it freely, but she could barely get the words out. She's laying there about to die and wanted to know how Bill's family was doing, you know. And I just started weeping, and I just had to walk away. And Denise and I went later, and we're like, Miss Margaret, we love you so much. And she's like, I love you. Barely talk. I love you. And you know, I thought, people who are full of love are easy to love. And this word beloved, when he said he's a beloved brother, Paul said about this guy. You know what? You know that word beloved is the same word that the Father used when he said of his Son, Jesus Christ, this is my what? Beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Same word that Paul used of Tychicus. He's my beloved brother. Just as God the Father said, that's my beloved Son. Wow. He was a loving man. But number two, the second thing tonight is that he was a faithful man. He was a faithful man. Look down with me at verse 7 again. Verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a what? A faithful minister. He's a faithful minister. Now, isn't that interesting? He could have used any adjective there he wanted to use, but what word did he use? Say it real loud. What is it? Faithful. In your handout, it says that the greatest ability is what? Dependability. Boy, there's a lot of truth in that. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. Now, aren't you glad it said faithful? It did not say it is required in stewards that a man be found successful. It didn't say that it's required. God said it's required that my stewards, my servants, that a man be found good looking. Rule a lot of us out, wouldn't it? You know, it's required in stewards that a man be intelligent, that a man be flashy, that a man be wealthy. No, he said it's required that a man be found what? Faithful. That levels the playing field, doesn't it? I tell my choir all the time, you know what? You may never have the best voice in choir, but I'm going to tell you something. You can be the most faithful choir member. That just levels the playing field, you know? When he just says it's required that you be faithful, man, that's something we can all do. We can all be faithful. You know, yet the Bible teaches what? A faithful man is hard to find, says in Proverbs. How true that is. How many of you ever heard the expression, he's a fair weather friend? What does that mean? Think about that expression, fair weather friend. What does that mean? That means that when everything's going good, when circumstances are great, when you're doing everything he likes, he'll be faithful, he'll stick by you. But when things get difficult, when there's a little bit of a rub, when the storms are blowing, you know, when maybe you've done something that he doesn't like, you know, you can't count on him. He's a fair weather friend. Tychicus was not this way. In fact, if you look up the word faithful, when he says he's a faithful minister, the word faithful means literally trustworthy. In your handout, it says there that Paul, when it says he was a faithful minister, that means Paul could trust him. Paul trusted this guy. He trusted him. Paul had the utmost confidence in this man. He just had confidence in him. Not that Tychicus was perfect, but he just had confidence in the guy. He said he's faithful. He's faithful. You notice he said he's a... Now look at it. Look at this. This is good stuff. Look at verse 7. He said he's a beloved brother and a faithful... And what's that next word? Now, when we think of the word minister in America, we think of what? Me, a pastor. He's our minister, we say. And I really don't like that at all. I'd rather you not refer to me as your minister. Because that gives the idea that if you've got a title up at the church, you know, then you're a minister. But really, the Bible never refers to pastors, that position as a minister. That's something we do in America, but it's not something that the Bible does. When in fact, this is really neat, when Paul said he's a faithful minister, did you know if you look up the word minister right there, do you know what word we get from that word minister? Deacon. That word minister is translated deacon, same word, that same English word, or I'm sorry, that same Greek word that's translated minister here, the translators just chose to use the word deacon over in Philippians 1:1 when he said, I greet all the bishops and deacons. In 1 Timothy 3:8 when he says that the deacons must be and he gives the requirements of a deacon, it's that word right there, minister. It's the same Greek word. When Jesus made this statement, he said, but he that is greatest among you shall be your... Does anybody know that verse? Matthew 23:11. He said, he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Same word, minister. Same Greek word here. Tychicus, just so you know, he had... And again, this is a kind of an unsung hero deal, but Tychicus had the distinct and incredible honor of being the guy who got to deliver three of Paul's letters to where they were going. He got to, just flip back a couple books to Ephesians 6, okay? Go back a few pages to the left. Ephesians 6, verse 21. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, so he writes the book of Ephesians. He's writing to a local church like Crossroads. And in Ephesians 6:21, he says, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. So Paul takes the letter of Ephesians, gives it to Tychicus, and asks him to go deliver it to Ephesus. Then go back to Colossians 4. Okay, go back to our text. Colossians 4. And he says in verse 7, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you as a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant of the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate. So Paul writes the letter of Colossians. He's in prison, remember. Paul's in prison. Tychicus, who's just a servant of God, a minister, a deacon, if you will, he takes this letter from Paul, and he's got that letter. I mean, picture this. He's got this letter from Paul. The apostle Paul has just penned this letter, gives it to Tychicus, and then he has to take that letter of Colossians and the letter of Philemon. Remember, Philemon was part of that local church, and Paul also wrote a personal letter to Philemon. So he takes two of Paul's letters, Colossians and Philemon, and he takes off and he carries those letters to their rightful place. Now, can you imagine for a moment having one of the Apostle Paul's letters in your hands freshly written? And it's your responsibility to see that it gets where it needs to go. Whew, wow. Tychicus, let me ask you something. If you're Paul and you got to get that letter where it needs to go, you think you might want a faithful man to do that? Yeah, you want somebody you can trust, don't you, Steve? Somebody you can count on. Somebody that you know is going to do everything in their power to do what needs to be done when it needs to be done. Faithful. Faithful. Are we faithful? Can we be trusted? Do our fellow workers trust us? I think we should all endeavor to be a Tychicus. And I want to say this. I don't think anything hurts the work of God more than unfaithfulness. And after 20 plus years here, I think I'm in a position to be able to make that statement. I don't think anything hurts the work of God more than unfaithfulness. People who are hit and miss. People who serve when they feel like it. But when they don't, they call in. People who are here a Sunday, not here a Sunday. You know, they're here for a month, all on fire for God, then you may not see them 2 months. People who all pumped up, man, I'm going to sing in a choir. And then they sing in the choir for 4 weeks, and then it's not as much fun anymore. You know? And they quit. And I'm telling you, you just can't count on them. That hurts the cause of Christ more than anything else. But let me say this. Faithful people, they're what makes the cause of Christ thrive. Faithful people. Now, I'm preaching to the choir tonight. Amen. You guys are here on a Wednesday night. So you're faithful. And I praise the Lord for that. But I mean, maybe you've been toying with the idea of being unfaithful. Maybe you've been toying with the idea of, you know, it's too hard to get up there on Wednesday night. You know, it's too hard to serve. It's too hard to be involved. You know, it asks too much, you know, to do this or that. Maybe tonight Tychicus will encourage you to stick by the stuff. Remain faithful. Number three, Tychicus was a humble man. If you look down at verse number 7, what does Paul say about him? He calls him a beloved brother, calls him a faithful minister. That word minister, remember? Servant, deacon. And what does he call him in the next phrase there at the end of verse 7? What's he call him? Fellow servant in the Lord. I want you to write this down. A fellow servant is one who serves the same master with another. Paul said, he's my fellow servant. He serves the same master I do. He serves the same Jesus I do. Tychicus was serving the same Jesus that Paul was serving. Now, by the way, do you know how many times Paul uses the term fellow servant to describe somebody in the Bible? This isn't a term he threw around flippantly. Did you know there's only one other man in the Bible Paul calls a fellow servant? And it's in this book. Go back to chapter 1. I'll show it to you. Chapter 1, verse 7. This is the guy who started this church of Colossae. In verse 7, chapter 1, verse 7. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, See that? Our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Those are the only two men that I know of Paul calls a fellow servant. We see Tychicus. He traveled with Paul on his missionary journey in Acts 20, verse 4. When Paul took off on his missionary journey, Tychicus is one of the guys with him. Then we see Tychicus serving with Paul while Paul's in prison at Rome. He's just serving Paul in prison, doing whatever Paul needs him to do. Then we see Tychicus traveling for Paul to Colossae. Then we see him going to Ephesus. Later on in Titus, he talks about to Titus. He writes Titus. He says, hey, I'm going to send Tychicus to relieve you, and then you come to me and you meet me here. We see him going to the island of Crete. In your handout, it says Tychicus did not need a fancy title or a prominent position. His attitude was, man, what do you need done, Paul? I'll do it. What do you need done? I'll do it. Mike Rich, what'd you tell me the other day? You said the hardest instrument to play in any orchestra is what? Second fiddle. It's true. Orchestra conductor said that. He said, hardest instrument to play is second fiddle. You know, and Tychicus had no problem playing second fiddle. He had no problem just being the gopher, if you will, for Paul. And boy, we use that term in a demeaning way, don't we? Well, he's just a gopher. You know, but Paul didn't say, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you who is a beloved gopher. He didn't call him a gopher. He called him a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. What do you need done, Paul? I'll do it. Number four, he was an honest man. He was an honest man. I love what he says there at the beginning of verse 7. Look at it. He's writing to this local church where Tychicus is heading off with the letter in hand. And he says, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you. You know what Paul's saying there? Paul's saying, I know I can trust this man that when he gets to you, he's going to accurately detail to you what's going on in my life, in my ministry. Paul says, all my state, in other words, all of what's going on here in my ministry, my condition. He knew Tychicus would not leave anything out. He knew he wouldn't shade the truth. He knew Tychicus wouldn't make it sound better than it was. He knew that he wouldn't make it sound worse than it was. He knew that he could count on Tychicus to give the Colossians a realistic update on Paul's ministry, and in your handout it says his personal condition. In other words, Tychicus was a straight shooter. He's going to tell it the way it is. And men like that are very valuable to the cause of Christ. Now remember something with me. Paul is a missionary. They didn't have email back then. Y'all knew that, right? They didn't have email. You know, my kids can't believe they didn't have email back then, but they didn't have email. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have, you know, the postal system that they do today. I mean, you see the postal system. Here's the letter, Tychicus. Take off for Ephesus. You know, that was... And so communication was not as just readily available as it is today. So now here's Paul. He's a missionary. He is counting on this guy, Tychicus, to show up at Colossae and give those people a realistic, truthful report as to what's going on in his life and in his ministry. And he's saying, you know what? I know when he gets there, he's not going to leave anything out. All my state shall he declare unto you. He's going to tell you the truth. He's not going to try to make it flowery, make it sound better than it is. He's not going to try to make it sound worse than it is, make you feel sorry for Paul. He's just going to tell you exactly, here's the way it is. You know what? That's a valuable commodity for a servant of Christ, is to be honest, just to be a straight shooter. You know, one of the qualifications of a deacon is that he not be double-tongued. That literally means telling a different story. You ever meet somebody who they'll tell one person one story and then another person another story? And Paul said, no, a deacon can't be double-tongued. Well, Tychicus was not double-tongued. He knew he could trust the man to speak honestly. Let me give you the last thing. Number five, I believe, is that he was a compassionate man. He was compassionate. I told you I was going to give you a great profile for a servant of Christ. And man, what a profile this is. He was compassionate. Look down at verse 8. Would you look at verse 8? Paul said, "Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts." Man, that's precious to me. Now, again, you can read right through that and zip through that and think there's nothing there. But this is precious. Paul knew that Tychicus wasn't just going to show up at Colossae as the bigwig. He wasn't going to just show up as, "I'm Paul's right-hand man. I'm Paul's spokesman. Roll out the red carpet for me. I'm here." He knew that Tychicus wasn't going to be all puffed up, all full of himself, making speeches about Paul and about himself. He knew that Tychicus would get there and he would be equally concerned about that church and those believers. He said, "You know what? He's going to tell you about what's going on in my ministry, but I'll tell you what else he's going to do. I know this man. He's going to show up and he's going to find out what's going on in your life and in your church. He's going to know your estate when it's all said and done, and he's there to comfort your hearts. He's not there for you to serve him. He's there to serve you." Man, that's precious. Paul knew that Tychicus would be concerned for these people. He knew that he would show concern to them. How many of you have ever met somebody and their favorite subject is themselves? That's their favorite subject they like to talk about, is themselves. All they want to talk about is their life, their ministry, you know, their goals, whatever. You know, it's Missions Month, and I, you know, through the years, we've had a lot of missionaries come and go. And I got to be honest with you. We've had missionaries come to our church, and all they want to talk about is themselves, their ministries, their needs. We got this financial need. We need to build this building. We need to raise money for this piece of property, you know. And they come almost with the attitude, you know, that you know, you exist to help me. What can you do to help me? What can you do to further what I'm doing? This is something that it's in the ministry, you know. We have to maintain this focus like a Tychicus, that it's not just about me, it's about others. And you know, I had something happen. I think it was a couple of years ago. I had a missionary come through that we've supported, and of course, you guys were very gracious. We gave him a great offering, and then a day or two later, he was still in town, and we went out to eat. And I went to go pay the bill. He said, "No, I will not let you pay this bill." I said, "Well, I don't want to let a missionary pay for my bread." He said, "No, you will let me pay." He just insisted. He said, "No, you've been a blessing to me. Now let me be a blessing to you." Wouldn't you all say that's the spirit of Tychicus right there? You know, that's the spirit of Tychicus. Say, "What'd you do?" "I let him pay. I don't want to rob him of a blessing." Amen. No, really, I think that's good. I think that's good. You know, sometimes we get into the take mode, you know, and Tychicus, he's like, he's not just there to take from you. When he shows up, I know he wants to know how he can help you. You know, and we've had missionaries come and they never give any thought to the condition of our assembly. They never give any thought to our people. And then I've had other missionaries come and you can tell they're deeply interested in our ministry. They're deeply interested in, and they want to be a blessing to us while they're here. And I've had them come up to me, "Man, look, they don't just sit around with the attitude, serve me while I'm here." You know, they come and they're like, "Pastor Dan, man, what can I do? Are there some visits I can make? You know, can I help out at the church? Can I clean something? Can I help with the grass? You know, I got some time on my hands while I'm here. What can I do to be a blessing?" That's the spirit of Tychicus. See, Paul knew that Tychicus would show up there as a representative for the missionary Paul, but he would exercise love and compassion toward these people. He'd be just as concerned for them as they would have been for Paul. Every believer should want to be a Tychicus. You know, I think a lot of you look at this guy Tychicus, and I see such a blend here of a lot of times what happens is people who are a lot of times people who are real diligent and they're real faithful and they're just real serious, sometimes they can be real stern and very intolerant of other people who aren't as serious and faithful as they are. And they can lack love and they can lack grace. Then you got other people on the other side of the coin who are very compassionate, very loving, but they lack zeal. They really lack diligence. They lack dependability. And sometimes they can tend to compromise maybe what's right in order to keep from hurting other people. But God's desire is that we be filled with both of those things. He wants us to be zealous for truth. He wants us to be dependable. He wants us to be diligent. But on the other hand, He wants us to do it with love and grace. You know, there's a verse in Ephesians that says, "Speak the truth in love." He wants us to be truthful people. He wants us to be diligent and faithful. But He wants us to do it all with love and grace. You see what I mean about Tychicus being an unsung hero? I mean, you've probably never heard a message or Bible study about Tychicus. You have now. And in your handout, it says, every believer should desire to be a Tychicus. What a beautiful balance of dependability and honesty, yet love and compassion. Are there any people that you're looking forward to meeting in heaven? Did you know Tychicus is one of those low-profile people that kind of fly under the radar? But I can't wait to meet him in heaven. I can't wait to be walking down the streets of heaven and you're Tychicus? Cool, man! Man, I've always wanted to meet you, Tychicus. One of those guys who just kind of flies under the radar, but he's an unsung hero. If you want to be a servant of Christ, boy, what a profile, huh? He was a loving man, a faithful man, a humble man, an honest man, but he was a compassionate man, concerned for others. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. I hope that maybe the Lord has pinpointed something in you tonight that has spoke to your heart from the life of Tychicus. And I hope tonight something has ministered to you and challenged you. You just pray and you ask the Lord to pinpoint maybe one of those areas, one of those five areas we talked about. Father, we love you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your word tonight. And Lord, thank you that Tychicus, who really was a missionary, was just such a wonderful, godly example of what a servant of Christ is. And Lord, just a wonderful man that just loved people. And Lord, he really challenges me in my life to have that balance, Lord, that we see here. Lord, help us to be Christians that other people can count on and trust, that's loving and dependable and faithful, honest. Lord, we're not double-tongued, Lord. We speak truth and we tell what's right. But then, Lord, help us to be compassionate. Not to just be concerned what others can do for us, but what we can do for others. Help us to be giving people. What a challenge Tychicus is as a missionary who still desired, Lord, to be a giver. He just wanted to give and he wanted to invest in these people and he wanted to know their estate and comfort their hearts. Thank you for this, man. What a blessing. What an unsung hero. So I'm glad we could spend a Bible study here on Tychicus. And Lord, I just thank you for the study we've had. We love you, praise you, and thank you. In Jesus' name.